This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
SourceTrunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 27, recorded on the 8th of October 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. With this episode, I will be drinking a Chimay Bleu. And this beer is one of the finest beers in Belgium. It really, really is. It will be a bit difficult for me to enjoy this beer because it's a bit too syrupy. It has a syrup taste, and that is not really my kind of beer. But apart from that, it is a very, very nice beer. When we went out, when we were younger, we tended to drink this as a regular beer, and because it's just that good. But the only problem is it's about 9% alcohol and it's pretty heavy on the stomach. So the same evening or the day after was really disastrous. The Chimay is a really authentic Trappist beer that is brewed within a Trappist monastery. It's completely under the control and responsibility of the monastic community. And the word Trappist, the type of beer, Trappist, is only to be given to six beers in Belgium, which is Chimay, Orval, Rochefort, Westmalle, West Vleteren, and Echel. We haven't done, I think, four or three of them, which we will be doing soon. Chimay also has cheeses, which you can eat whilst drinking this very fine beer. And yeah, well, for me it's too much syrup, but it's still not bad. Look at their site at www.chimay.com. It's in the show notes. There you can learn a lot about Trappist beers, cheeses, and beer brewing in general. It's a very, very good site to learn more about beers. Let's go.
Web applications.
Squirrel mail. I'll give you a compact definition of Squirrel Mail. It's a standards-based webmail application written in PHP. It includes built-in pure PHP support for the IMAP and SMTP protocols, and all pages render in pure HTML 4.0, so with no JavaScript required. That for maximum compatibility across browsers. That's the official explanation of Squirrel Mail. Now, it's not only a webmail application, it's a complete interface where you can organize your email system, and it has support for attachments, address books, calendar, and folders. This gives you a bit of an idea what the thing can do. It's very simple, but it's very powerful and extremely expandable. I'll first give you a little difference between POP and the IMAP mail protocol, because it only supports IMAP and not POP. POP3 works mostly by reviewing the inbox on a mail server and then retrieving all the mail on your computer where it resides on the computer and is taken off the server. You can have options where you leave it on the server, but that's not really meant to use in that fashion. IMAP does not work that way. IMAP has every mail on the server, and you just download the header information. You just download the list of mails on the server, and there you can see from who the mail is, who it was sent to, what the subject is, but you don't have the body, you don't have the attachments. When you click on the mail, then you will download the mail and can read the complete body. Sometimes an IMAP mail client will download, nevertheless, all the bodies and header information, but the mail still resides on the server. That makes it easy to read the mail from another computer, from another client. That's the basics. POP will retrieve all the mail from the server to a computer, and an IMAP server will just keep normally all the mail on the server, and you just can view it with another computer. Squirrel Mail is an interface completely built in PHP that mimics an IMAP client that mimics a normal mail client. I'll give you some practical uses for it. I use it to read my own mail off my own mail server at home. So wherever I am on the internet, I can just log in to my website and log into my own mail server and read all my mail and answer the mail I want to. You could use it, for example, when you use an IMAP server off your own private internet provider, but your company doesn't allow IMAP connections. The thing you could do if you have a little server of your own is put a Squirrel Mail interface on your PHP web server, which you definitely have, and then you can just log in to your own website and read your mail via your own Squirrel Mail that will connect to the IMAP server of your internet server provider. You don't need to have your own mail server. You can use another IMAP server for it. It is used in corporate environments as well. To give you an example, it's the default on OS X mail servers. OS X server has a built-in mail server, which is the Cyrus mail server and Postfix as an SMTP server, and it will use Squirrel Mail as the webmail interface. It's highly customizable for the administrators, and it is very, you can really lock it down also if you are scared that your users will abuse the system too much. To give you a little anecdote, when we transferred our company to another mail server, not our own mail server, but we had to log in to a more centralized mail server because we were merging into one big company, we had to use the Lotus Notes mail server, which in my opinion is not one of the best and most practical mail servers. The webmail interface of the Lotus Notes environment is really, well, it's sort of horrible. And so to bypass that, we just set up a little PHP web server and installed Squirrel Mail for the users, which was really much more what we were used to. We could completely adapt it to our needs. We could use it like it should. It was really, really fast compared to the Lotus Notes webmail. Some people even use Squirrel Mail as a real desktop mail client replacement. Some people don't even use their Lotus Notes environment on their client machine anymore. They just use their webmail interface. It's not intended to be used as a desktop client application, but you can, and that demonstrates the strength of Squirrel Mail. After a few weeks, one of the installers of the Lotus Notes environment came by to our site to look how things were going, and he saw that some of us were using Squirrel Mail as the webmail application instead of the Lotus Notes webmail, and they decided to install that also on their site to replace the horrible experience that was the Lotus Notes environment. But enough criticizing the Lotus Notes. Afterwards, the whole shebang was replaced with Microsoft Exchange, so we were put back in time even more. All right, the installation of Squirrel Mail is really easy. The only thing you need is a web server and PHP. You don't need MySQL or another database at all. You have to install an IMAP server. If you don't have an IMAP server, but you have an IMAP server of your internet service provider, you can use that one. And you download a Squirrel Mail package and you unpack it in a web accessible location. That means www.yoursite.com/squirrelmail, for example. Then you have to select a data directory and an attachment directory, and those directories should not be accessible by a web user. That goes for obvious reasons. Those directories are especially used as a buffer when someone, you, for example, or your colleagues or friends or family, download a mail from the IMAP server and put it in a place where nobody else can have it except for the Squirrel Mail package that will fetch it to you. Once you've done that, once you have unpacked the Squirrel Mail package, you only have to run the config /conf.pl command. And that is the complete configuration of your SquirrelMail environment. It's a very simple configurator. You have in, not even in ncurses, just in a little console overview, you have your main menu where you can put your organization preferences, like a logo, a title, stuff like that, when you first come on to the login page. Your server settings, there you can put the IMAP server, the port, if you need another port, and you can put your SMTP settings so that you can send mail via SquirrelMail through the SMTP server of your choice. Other things you can do is folder defaults, where the folders should be in the IMAP structure. You have some more general options, for example, how big can an attachment be, where is the data directory, can some people change their usernames, stuff like that. Let's see, what do you have? Themes, yes, you can put default themes on SquirrelMail to change the colors of the background, to change the height, the width of the text, all the good stuff you want from a good webmail environment. Address book settings, here you can put in your LDAP servers and some options to let your clients or yourself search for addresses. A little message of the day, and then plugins. Now, the plugins of SquirrelMail are one of its, in my opinion, one of its major assets, but I'll come back to that. So once you have filled in all the necessary information, and in most cases that will only mean where your IMAP server is located, and that's it. For the rest, you don't really have to tweak it to use it. And you do save your information, and then you can just log in via your SquirrelMail PHP page. You'll give your credentials, your username and your password, and bam, you're in. You have your own webmail environment, free, completely adaptable. To give you some examples of the plugins I was talking about, there are a lot of plugins you can download for the SquirrelMail package. And when I say a lot, I mean humongous. You can modify your complete SquirrelMail environment. There are over 200 plugins available. Let's browse through them. Not all 200, of course, but just have a quick look. There are general add-ons. You can use bookmarks, for example, so you can save your bookmarks, just simple web bookmarks, into your SquirrelMail environment. There is a little forum you can use. There are shared calendars. Yes, you can use calendar in your SquirrelMail application as well. There are to-do reminders. There's a web search you can use. What else? Let's see. Address book plugins, for example, to easily add addresses you have from mail that people send you. You just click on add to the address book. You have import and export modules, for example, LDIF address book import if needed. Then you have the administrator's relief section that gives a lot of plugins that will help administrators do stuff like auto-subscribe, block attachments, censor, a little debugger to see what is going on under the hood of SquirrelMail. A plugin update module that will check for updates of your plugins, which is not welcome if you have to support a server with a lot of plugins working. Let's see, then you have change password modules, compose plugins that gives you an auto CC header, autocomplete, so you don't have to search for addresses in your address book, but it will automatically fill in the rest of the nickname or email addresses. You can have it's a dictionary to look up words. You even have Japanese input. You can use templates, which are not that useful for me, but I know a lot of my colleagues who can't use a webmail environment because they need templates. Well, here you can use templates without a problem. You've got message and folder manipulation to archive your mail, to empty complete folders. You can even have a junk folder. You can have shared folders, which is very important to share your mailboxes with other people. The way your messages can be viewed, you can have a download all, you can have a show headers, a TNF attachment decoder. People who have to deal with the horrible TNF attachments know exactly what I mean. You can have a little preview pane extension so you can see a third frame above the or under the subject line, so you can immediately have a grasp of the content of your message. And then you have all sorts of plugins, forward plugins, cookie warnings. I'll stop with going through the list, but I just have to pick out a few more just to give you an example, just to give you the idea of what is possible with this. Send confirmations, new languages. You can have your complete mails checked on spelling, vacation plugins, visual additions, and what could be, for example, to check the quota from your IMAP server so you can see how long it will take for the mail administrator to come screaming at you because of the fact that you have too much mail in your inbox. The things that I use the most of the plugins are the calendar, the address book, of course, the bookmarks, and a little plugin named Delete Move Next that gives me the possibility to open a mail and immediately click on Delete Next, and then it will just delete and go on to the next mail. You should have a look at all the plugins on the Squirrel Mail website. That will really give you an idea of the extendability of this beautiful application. Negative aspects, you must be joking. This thing is just perfect. It is done. It hasn't really changed in the 4 years I know it. I think that if developers hear me now, they will go screaming in anger, because I'm sure that a lot of things under the hood have changed. But the main reason why it is built is just the same. The main functionality is just the same. It is fast, it is slick, it is easy to use, it is the best webmail interface you'll ever see. And it's completely open source. What more do you want? The authors are Luke and Nathan Eresman, and the fact that they call it Squirrel Mail appears to be just a little coincidence. The brothers wanted something quick, something good, something that would be able to run on every browser to read mail off IMAP servers. And the day before, they saw a squirrel fall out of a tree and just query back to the tree. And considering that the squirrels are one of the fastest animals, they decide to give the fastest mail service the name Squirrel Mail, hence the name. Let's see, what is there more to say about this? Okay, some tips. Put some time in configuring the look and feel. Try out a lot of themes, make your font like you really want it, because you will be using this thing a lot and you will like it so much more if you just configure it completely to your liking. Search the plugins. There's stuff you really dreamt of in a normal mail client, and it would be a shame that you just haven't seen it. Sometimes you see plugins that describe things you didn't think of before. You thought you didn't need, but now you know you have missed all your life. The availability. Well, it's available for every PHP-capable web server. The latest release is 1.4.11, and you can get it at squirrelmail.org. To give you an idea how many people are using this, it has been downloaded, according to sourceforge.org, about 2,626,000 times. The license is GNU General Public License, and I haven't found anything to support it, but they have a sponsors link on the squirrelmail.org site you could check out.
The little extra.
Bad blocks. Bad blocks is used to search for bad blocks on a device, and this is mostly a Unix or Linux device. I came into contact with bad blocks when I got the laptop of my brother-in-law into my hands because it was going very, very slowly. There was Windows installed on it, so because they had all of their data on it, you know the story. That means pictures, Excel sheets, Word documents, stuff that they really shouldn't be having on a single location. They had some copies on CDs, but not everything. And the Windows XP system was completely unusable. It would give little churning sounds of the hard disk. You heard the little ticks of the hard disk going completely berserk, and you couldn't do anything at all. I had to mount it with damn small Linux and get all the data off it via a little secure copy command, which I will be explaining, I think, in a few weeks from now, because damn small Linux is great. But I'm digressing. Afterwards, when all the data was being taken care of, they had all the data on DVDs and they bought a new computer to put everything on it, I wanted to know how much damage was done to the hard drive. And I just started the bad blocks command from within the damn small Linux distribution. And it immediately showed me that it had bad blocks all over the place. You can't only use this to see how many bad blocks are there. You can even try to have it do everything in write mode text. So it scans for bad blocks by writing a lot of patterns on it. And mostly hard drives will try, if they encounter a bad block, to put that on the bad block list. And so your hard drive will be marked with bad blocks, but you still can use it. In this case, the hard drive was completely going berserk. I've got bad blocks all over the place. I couldn't even fit, after a lot of testing, something in between it. But it could be useful for you if you have 2, or 1, or even 12 or 15 bad blocks on your hard drive. It's good to see where they are, and you can do this with bad blocks. Another thing you can use it for is if you buy new hardware, immediately put bad blocks on it to see if there is not one single bad block on it, which you would be able to return to have it replaced under warranty, for example. Okay, installation, well, it's just a little command line utility. It's available on Linux and Unix. And it was written by Remy Card. The current maintainer is Theodore Tso. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm not really sure. And you can get it from e2fsprogs.sourceforge.net. It's bad blocks is a part of the e2fsprogs package. The license is GPL, and you can support it by contacting the maintainers and asking them how you can support it, because I found nothing of the sort. Okay, some listener feedback. Oh no, wait. First, I have to mention the Ontario Linux Fest. It will be on the 12th of October. Well, then will be the welcome party. And on Saturday, which is the 13th of October, there will be the Linux Fest itself, and there will be stuff like One Laptop Per Child, Women in Open Source, OpenOffice.org 3.0 will be demonstrated there. Then you have a morning keynote by Theodore Tso, which happens to be one of the maintainers of bad blocks. Speaking of a coincidence, it really is. For you uber geeks, there's a how-to on write a kernel module, the Postgres 8.3, Xen, GNOME, Eclipse. There's a lot. There's really a lot. Check it out on onlinux.ca. I think you still can register for this Ontario Linux Fest. You really have to check it out if you're able to go. Which I'm not, but that's my problem. Okay, listener feedback. Let's see. In last episode, I had the idea to start a little beer bin. And that is just a little page on sourcedrunk.com where I try to gather a lot of information about pubs that are not situated in Belgium, but in United States, Asia, Russia, somewhere else in Europe, wherever, India, and where you can drink a nice Belgian beer. And the first one to contact me about that was Jack Daniel, and he wrote me a lot of information, which you can find in the beer bin on sourcedrunk.com, and he has, for example, the Brickskeller, which is situated in Washington, D.C. Then you have Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown, New York. And then there is also the British Beer Company, which is a group of seven restaurants south of Boston, Massachusetts. So thank you, Jack Daniel, for this information. That is really great. Dana Campbell as well gave me information about Innery Wines, and Innery Wines is situated in Bristol, I think. Wait, where is it? Bristol, which is in Tennessee, which is for a half in Tennessee and half in Virginia. And Innery Wines has about, let's see from what he's writing, about 20 Belgian beers. And he has a little anecdote that goes with it from his mail. I say fortunate because good beer is really hard to come by around here. My wife and I were at a very nice restaurant recently, and when I asked for the beer list, the waitress said they didn't have one, but just tell her what I want because they had every beer known to man. I was immediately, when I read that, I was thinking, well, for a waitress to remember every beer known to mankind, or even every Belgian beer, that is just astonishing. So let's continue the mail. I said, I'll have a Korsendonk. So Dana said immediately, then we'll give me just a Korsendonk. And he got nothing but a blank stare back. Turns out they had 14 beers. Budweiser, Miller, Busch, you get the picture. And then Dana just continues his mail by writing that his wife proposed to move to Belgium, which was a very good idea. Thanks for the feedback. I've put it as well in the beer bin. So now it's just a little list, but I hope it will grow immensely. For all the people who know very nice places to drink very nice Belgian beer and haven't written me yet, just pass me a note with the website or the address. You don't have to introduce yourself. Just give me the information. A lot of people will be very thankful. Also, a lot of people have written me about projects, open source projects that I should talk about. And I promise too often to listeners I would handle a certain project. I just don't have the time. I'm trying to get this. I'll try to catch up and have a more regular feed. Also, last episode was a bit of a bad quality podcast because I used for the AUG a wrong hertz speed, and some people couldn't listen to it at all. My apologies, will be fixed now. And I had a little tick in the podcast, which will be removed now as well. Leave your comments on sourcedrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcedrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Famous by The Lascivious Biddies. Thanks for your time and good hunting. This is the fate that is in store for me. Oh, when I'm famous, I will wear a great trench coat and fake red hair, so they all will know that it is me. When they see me, how they'll smile, photographs to sign. I will say, sorry babe, talk to my assistant. I want to be famous. Famous. Tabloids will print what I eat. I want to be famous. Who I do will be news on the street. Then when I'm old, I'll have a ball. They'll be shocked that I'm living at all. When I enter, the guests will fall to their knees, and then I'll slip the
grow. Every morning I'll get high on colored pills, martinis dry, a little weed and just a touch of blow. I wanna be famous,
famous,
better than all of my friends,
so much better than all of her friends.
I wanna be famous,
famous,
lonely and alone at the end. I'll end up bitter and ugly and old, not just my body but also my soul. But a legend is my goal, and a legend.